place of salvation, even eternal rest. And so we come now to hear your word, to reaffirm that you are a faithful God, and great is thy faithfulness. Speak now to us. May the power of your Holy Spirit dwell with us in these moments of the spoken word. We bless your name, that you are a helper, that you are with us in the storms of life, that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. And so we pray that you would speak now to us as never before. And then, our God, when the service has been completed, we will be quick to give God the glory, saying, to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, that we pray, and all the people of God who love God said amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah. During the sentence prayer, I heard one of our members say, thank you, Lord, for healing me of cancer. What a powerful prayer. And what a powerful testimony to share with the people of God that God is still in the healing business. Somebody will say amen. Amen. Somebody will say it again. Amen and amen. Our text for the morning comes to us from the words of the psalmist. They're found in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 11. Take your Bibles in your hand. We're going to try to preach from this today, and we want you to walk with us as we preach from this text. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 11. And to make sure you're going to help me preach, I'm going to ask you to read with me. Reverend Jackson, would you pass me my Bible? Psalm 91, verses 1 through 11. And so we're going to do it responsively as we share together today. What text? Where's the text from? 1 through 11. And the pastor is going to read the odd verses and ask you to read the even verses. That way I know that you are walking with me. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Help me, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I've already preached. I've already preached. There are some things in this text, some words that speak of God's presence and the value of being in the secret place with God. In the secret of his presence is a hymn that came to me as I was preparing the word for the day. Listen to the words, the lyrics. In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me to the secret place I go, to the secret place I go. How many of you know that you can find in Christ a secret place? We can find in Christ a secret place. When I look at the text, and when you look at the text with me, you will discover, as I have discovered, that there are some key words in this text. The first key word, your Bible's still open. The first key word that I find in the text is he, you, we that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall hide under the shadow of the Almighty. The first thing that I see here is that those of us who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the body of Christ, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. A shadow, the reflection of the presence and the power of God. Look at that. Look at that. Dwell. What do you think dwell means? It means to live in, to abide in. He that abideth in my word, I abide in them, Jesus said. Notice, he says, in the secret place of the who? Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2 it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my what? And my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. turn it around and say, I trust in God because he is my refuge and my fortress. The reason why I look so at God and turn and trust him is because in him I find a refuge. In him I find a hiding place. In him I find a fortress. And the psalmist says, a mighty fortress. The songwriter, Martin Luther, says, a mighty fortress is our God. What is a fortress? What does a fortress do? It protects the inhabitants that live within its fort. Oh, help me somebody. When I first saw the movie The Alamo, how many of you seen the movie The Alamo? Don't look. I thought that The Alamo was a big structure with high walls. Oh, walls that were impregnable. You could not penetrate them. I thought. Until I got to San Antonio and said to myself, the movie people have fooled me by making me believe that this was a grandiose fortress. But guess what? The God that I serve, he is a mighty fortress. No one can snatch me out of his hand. Help me somebody. No matter how you try, you cannot get over the fortress that God has for those who dwell in the secret place under the shadow of the Most High God. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, that helps me to say something. If I dwell in him, if I trust him, if I love him and honor him, he becomes what? A deliverer. That's right there in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from all of the problems and all that you find problematic in your life. Can I help somebody here? Can I help somebody? Can I help myself? If I help myself, I say to myself, there are at least three things about dwelling or living or being in the secret place of the Most High God. Listen to what Psalm 31 says, 31 and 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. There shall you keep them secretly in the provision from the strife of tongues. David wants us to understand that if we trust God, if we serve him, that he shall deliver us in the time of trouble. I know that God is a deliverer because I have read of his deliverance. You remember the three Hebrew boys who were placed in the fiery furnace. The fire was heated how many times? Seven times than its usual heat. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, no matter of heat, y'all not walking with me, that people impose upon you that will destroy you from the presence of the hiding place in the secret of God's presence. It says here, he shall deliver thee. The three Hebrew boys who refused to bow, refuse to kneel, refuse to dance, refuse even to eat the king's meat, you will discover that the king said to them, when you hear the sound of the trumpet and the bagpipe, when you hear the sound of any instrument, you are to bow down. Guess what they said? Oh, king, we will not bow. How many of us have made up in our minds and in our hearts, no matter what come our way, we will not give in to this world. We will not dance by the world's music, nor will we eat from the table of the world. He says, guess what? If we're not going to bow, and you can put us in the fiery furnace all you want to, but we're not going to bow. The Baptist Church needs to say to the world, no matter what laws are enforced or no matter what laws are printed, we will not bow. To God, we will be true. To God, we will honor. We will honor his word, and we will continue to pray in Jesus' name publicly. Guess what they said? O king, we will not bow. And the reason why we will not bow is because our God is able to deliver us. And even if he does not come and deliver us, we still will not bow because we know that God is able. Can I ask the question? Is anybody here that knows something about the ableness of God, that he's able to heal what doctors say cannot be healed? He's able to set free those who have been in prison because he is what? A deliverer. Songwriter said, did my God deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Speaking of Daniel, I'm not talking about Daniel Martin, but speaking of Daniel, you will notice that his enemies saw him praying and reported to the king, you said that nobody should pray to any God but our God. And I've noticed Daniel praying 3 times a day. Look at this. Your enemies know what you do. They know how you praise God. They understand when you're praising God. And if they can bring you down, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if you pray, folk will try to destroy you. As long as you're doing good, help me some. As long as you're trying to help somebody, there are always folk trying to trip you up and bring you down. But I tell you, keep on praying. If prayer gets you in trouble, prayer will get you. Is there anybody here ever been in trouble because you did something good? Or you attempted to do something good? Let me tell you, God is a deliverer. They put Daniel in the lion's den. Don't know how many lions were down there. One writer said 3, one said 4, one said 5. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells me that they had not been fed for a number of days. And I don't know about you, but when I don't eat, I get agitated. You want to make the pastor mad? Tell him that you didn't leave him nothing to eat. These lions are hungry. And Daniel is put in the lion's den. And because he is in the secret place of the Most High God, because he had been talking to God, honoring God, honoring his faith and his commitment to Christ, his commitment to God, the lions looked at him. One lion said, this might be some good meat, but I'm not hungry.
Y'all missed it. The other said, if you're not going to eat of it, I'm not eating either. And the old preacher said that Daniel looked at the lions and, oh yeah, said that I'm made by God and you made by God. I serve God and you honor the wishes of God. And so just lay down and let me lay on you and be a pillow. Can I help you something? He will make your enemies. He'll make your enemies your footstool. Is there anybody here that somebody tried to trip you up and said you were not worthy of the promotion, you were not worthy of the advancement, but God said, I'm going to move you above them. They will answer to your call. King comes down. I'm talking about God being a deliverer. The king comes down and he says, oh, Daniel, the God that you prayed to, have you heard your prayer? And guess what Daniel said? Oh, king, I'm here. I have not been eaten of the lions. They didn't lack what they saw. They didn't think their taste bud would adhere to that. And so I am still alive. Is there somebody here that your enemy tried to kill you, but you can tell the world, I'm still alive. I'm alive because I had a little talk. Not only if I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my strength, my God in whom I trust. And then he says, surely he shall deliver. But then that fourth verse, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Talks of a man in war. He needs a shield and a buckler to hold his sword in place. A shield. How many of us have had used the word of God to shield us from those who would destroy us? How many of us have been able to ward off the devil and his imps because we have the word of God? You remember Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. How after he had come out of 40 days of being hungered and lacking food, he comes out and he's weak. And Satan says, I'm going to get him now because I know he's weak. And so Satan says to him, look, I know you're hungry. And since you're hungry, folk who are hungry will do anything to eat. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus used the seal of God's word by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Have you ever used the word of God to shield yourself from the enemy? Have you ever said, Satan, get behind me? Help me preach, sister. Get Satan, get thee behind me. Leave me alone. Don't stand in front of me questioning my faith and what God has assigned me to do. Leave me alone. Get the out of my face. Every now and then, church folk ought to be able to tell Satan where to go. You ought to be able to send Satan back to where he's come from. Now, some of us are so nice. Until we let Satan say anything to us, do anything to us, and we say, I'm just going to tell Jesus about it. But he's already told us what to do to Satan. Satan, get thee behind me. Satan comes as an accuser. He accuses us and, oh yeah. Not only will he accuse us, but he says to God, we're only doing what we're doing because of your goodness to us, your mercy to us, your love of us. Ask Job. Job will tell you that Satan accused me of being faithful to God because of how he blessed me. Boy, if God blesses us, it's easy for us to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, because we've been blessed. But guess what? If God permits Satan to pull away some of the things that God has given us, if we lose that job, then we get mad at God. If our children go astray, then we say we're not going to worship God. But can I tell you something? Just hang on there with God. He will not let your trouble last always. He took everything Job had. Everything. Took his children. Took his wealth, his cattle. And then he said, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I hide in the secret place of the Most High. Can I say something about trouble? Trouble comes to test us. It just comes to test us. You know, you got problems at home with that wayward husband, with the wife who go through your cell phone. Well, y'all know, y'all not with me. You go to sleep and you hear that little ding, ding, ding. And you wondering what's going on. You look up and she got your cell phone. And then if that number appears so many times, I want to know who in the you keep calling. You said, well, that's the answering service for the business we have. No, that's not the, well, dial it. Y'all seen that commercial, haven't you? You seen that State Farm commercial? Guess what? Trouble comes to test us. And when we come out of the test, when we come out of the test, we had a house that wasn't paid for. That the devil got in us and we said, I'm not going to pay for this. And it looked like you're going to lose the house. Guess what? You lost that 1-2 bedroom, but God put you in a 4-bedroom with 3-car garage because he worked it out, because you stayed faithful. Kept praising his name. Oh, I don't want to keep you too long. He says in that 5th verse, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. In other words, he will bless you in the nighttime, and he will bless you in the daytime. You don't have to worry about the darkness. You don't have to worry about destruction that wait at noonday. Guess what? If you just stay in the presence of God and hide yourself in the secret place, God will bring you out. Look at what he says here in that 7th verse. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Woo, I like this. When I was in Korea, how many of you soldiers been to Korea? When I was in Korea, they had drills all the time. Noonday drill. You hear the alarm go off sometimes at midnight. The commander would have us come call in, make sure we at our duty station. But I never shall forget, I had this young chaplain who worked for me. I ain't gonna call his name because you may know him. He worked for me. And one time we were having, Deacon Johnson, we were having an alert, and I couldn't find him. I called his number and he didn't answer. And I was worried about him. And so I went down to his room, knocked on the door, gave that knock that we colored folk. Y'all missed it. You know, if some people came to his door and didn't have the right knock, he wouldn't answer the door. So I came to the door and I gave him the. He opened the door. He said, "What you want, chaplain? What you want, Bob?" I said, "Man, didn't you hear the alarm go off?" He looked at me and said, "What? You mean tell me the alarm went off?" I said, "Yeah, what you doing?" He said, "I'm watching TV." I said, "TV?" He said, "Yeah, I'm in the comfort of my own room, and no matter what's going on out there, it's not bothering me in here." I said, "But they could have let off some bombs." He said, "Guess what? The God that I serve would have protected me, even though the bombs went off." He said, "Now what are you doing?" I said, "I want you to come with me." He said, "Can I bring Jesus with me?" Y'all missed that. He said, "Can I bring the Comforter with me? Can I bring the great commanding chief with me?" I said, "Boy, cut that TV off and come to your duty station." He said, "I was already at my duty station because I just had a talk with the Lord and he told me everything was going to be all right." So 10,000 can fall. 7,000 can fall, but if you walk with the Lord, he will be a shield all around you. That's why our forefathers used to sing, "Jesus, be a fence." All around me. I've kept you too long. But let me close by sharing with you. Because, that ninth verse, "Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come now thy dwelling. For he shall give, Uncle Sam, he shall give his trump." "He shall give the city council." "He shall give the commissioner's court." "He shall give." "His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That was an old lady. She shouldn't have been driving. Well, I can't say that. I'm getting old myself. The lady, Sister Laura, Dr. Branks Reed, she was about 97, 98 years old. And she had just bought this brand new Cadillac. And she was out testing the Cadillac. And some construction truck had dropped some nails on the highway. And guess what? She ran over some of the nails and ended up with a flat tire. And here's this old lady standing out by her car with a walker. and cars were passing her by. Passing her by. And here comes a guy on a motorcycle. He stops and he helps her. She thanked him and she said, "Baby, let me give you a hug and a kiss. And a couple of dollars." He said, "That's all right, ma'am. I'll take the hug and a kiss, but you keep your money." He got on his motorcycle and he drove off. She asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "Oh, you don't need to know my name. You don't need to know my phone number. Just know I'll help you." And when she drove off, she looked and she saw on his jacket, "Hell Angels." And she said, "I be." "That an angel from hell help me. I can't believe this." So when she went home and was telling her caregiver, guess what? A hell angel helped me. The caregiver, who did not believe in help from the devil, said that was not a hell angel. That was God's angel in disguise. Y'all missed that. And so every now and then, we can sing all night, all day. Angels keep watch over me. And I'm going to tell you something about Jemison. I don't care from whence my help comes. I know that my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth.